Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening, friends. We want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course, I have with me this evening Brother David Harris, and we do have, as Laura was mentioning earlier, we have a special guest this evening. We have Chris Groda from Mount Pleasant. I think that some of y'all may recognize that name because Chris preached in this area for a number of years. He was over at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, I think, before David got there, and then he was at De Leon, and so he's been around in this area. So we're glad to have Chris, but he was at De Leon before he left here and went over to Mount Pleasant. So it's good to have Chris with us this evening. We are going to be continuing our discussion on the Holy Spirit, and what we're going to be talking about this evening on our program, we're going to be talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so that is a topic, of course, that has caused a lot of debate down through the years. And so we want to encourage you to follow along with us. And I want to encourage you right now to open in your Bible to Joel chapter 2. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 28 and read down through verse number 32. And we'll come back and talk about that. We do want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Or you can send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And by the way, we want to send a shout-out. I don't know if they're able to listen this evening. I know they were going to try, but David and Chris and I are working this week at the camp over in Lake Cisco, and so we've been out there in the hot air this week enjoying time with the kids. And so if y'all did happen to get this tuned in, we're certainly glad that our kids are out there listening. But let's talk about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are a number of baptisms that are mentioned in the New Testament. You may remember that Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talked about the nation of Israel and said that they had been baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then, of course, we read of the baptism of John, where John had gone out and he was baptizing people, and that was a baptism unto repentance, and it was for the remission of sins. And that's recorded in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 5 and going through verse 11. It's also recorded in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse number 4, and it's as well recorded in Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse number 3. And there is another baptism that is talked about, and Jesus is the one that talked about this, and he was talking to two of his disciples, and he talked about a baptism of suffering, and that's Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse number 22. And then, of course, there is the baptism that our Lord commanded in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 19, as well as Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, where Jesus said, "Those who believe and are baptized shall be saved." And by the way, that's recorded in John chapter 3 and verse number 5. And then, folks, there's one that Jesus talked about, and this was, or excuse me, John talked about, and that was a baptism of fire. And this is again from Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. But friends, that fire is talking about eternal torment. We would call that hell. And so John talked about the fires of hell, baptism of fire in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. And of course, there is the baptism that we're going to be talking about on our program this evening, and that is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to be talking about Again, we want to say how much we appreciate you being here, and we appreciate Chris coming and helping us. And at this time, I believe David's going to read Joel chapter 2, and he's going to have some comments. Brother David.
Thank you, Kerry. One of the reasons that we are spending so much time on this subject of the Holy Spirit is because there is so much confusion out there in the religious world as to what is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? All of those different baptisms that you mentioned just a moment ago, people are confused about them all. And yet we read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 that there is only one baptism. That's and so what is all of this we're talking about? And Kerry, I would like to bring up the point that you made last week and even the week before. In order to be a good Bible student, number one, we need to know who it is that is speaking.
That's right.
Number two, we need to know to whom he is speaking. Uh-huh. And number three, we need to know the timeline.
That's right.
And when we're going back here, we're going to read in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. We are dealing with a time period that is 770 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And so this is a prophecy that is to take place way out there in the future from when Joel gives it. Now, the prophet Joel is speaking through inspiration, God speaking to the people through the prophet, and here is what he has to say in verse number 28. And it shall come to pass afterward, now this is some time later, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon thy handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And so, Kerry, what we have here is a prophecy. And the prophecy says that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Now, all flesh is going to consist of the Jews and the Gentiles.
That's right.
And when we look at this event that took place in Acts chapter 2, and we covered it last week, I do believe, in Acts chapter 2, the flesh consisted of Jews and Gentiles. The Jews received it in Acts chapter 2. The Gentiles received it in Acts chapter 9, or Acts chapter 10. Also, we want to throw Paul in there because he was an apostle that was born out of due season and came in later. And he also received this Holy Spirit baptism. The Gentiles received it in Acts chapter 10. And so we have two actual events that we're going to have that are recorded in the Bible of this Holy Spirit baptism. Now, the reason that it is so important, Kerry, is because there is so much confusion about this in the denominational world today.
That's right.
One of the common denominators in the denominational world today is the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. And some people, for some reason, can't take the Bible for what it has to say. They've got to have some help with men. And that's what we're here for. You have heard what the Bible or what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say about this Holy Spirit baptism.
Well, friends, I want to encourage you to open in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. David mentioned just a moment ago that when Joel prophesied that God was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and David mentioned that referred to both Jews and Gentiles. And friends, we want you to understand that's not something that David and I came up with. That's right out of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse number 28, the Bible says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, David and Chris, that's talking about the law of Moses, right?
Right.
Right, okay. So he says that a man is not justified, or he is justified without the deeds of the law. Now, watch this. Verse 29, folks. Is he that is God, the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Friends, when we talk about both Jew and Gentile, we're using biblical language that God used. And basically, friends, the Bible breaks it down And God, of course, had a very special covenant relationship with the Jewish people. Now, he dealt with the Gentiles, but not in the same manner as he did with the Jews. And so, biblically, the world was divided into Jew and Gentile. And so that's what we're talking about, friends, when we talk about this baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon all flesh, that we're talking about both Jew and Gentile. Now, David said that errors absolutely just consume this topic. He pointed out how that people in the denominational world for many, many years have twisted the scriptures. They have tried to make the Bible say something that it absolutely does not say. And so that's why we wanted to take this time to study the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, the first point that we want to make concerning this, and David and I talked about it last week, and actually I think Terry and David talked about it the week before, if I remember right. But, friends, Holy Spirit baptism is a promise, and it is not a command. Now, let me say that again. It is a promise and not a command. Now, Chris, we obey a command, right?
That's right.
And we receive a promise. Is that right?
That's exact.
And so when we start talking about somebody, you cannot obey a promise, can you?
No, you sure can't. You can obey a commandment.
That's
right. You
can
receive a promise.
Yeah, you receive that promise, but a commandment is something that we obey. And so there is no command anywhere in the New Testament that commands us to be baptized. Now, we had a caller, actually, they wrote the note, but they asked about John chapter 3 and verse number 5. Was that a promise of Holy Spirit baptism? And in John chapter 3, friends, and verse number 5, Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot inherit." He said earlier, "You can't even see the kingdom of God." Friends, that is a command, and it is not a promise. And when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit plays a part. Chris, do you have 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. Listen to what Paul wrote to the brethren at Corinth.
1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit."
Chris, now that said that we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into how many bodies?
It says one body.
One body. So how many bodies are there then?
Well, it says there's one body, just as Ephesians chapter 4 says there's one body.
Okay. So I wanted to make sure. And then he talked about, again, Jews and Gentiles, didn't he?
Absolutely.
So, friends, when we talk about this Jew and Gentile, that's what we're talking about. David?
Well, the promise is something that we really need to focus on. And,
yes.
And we have we've brought this up before. And it's not that we're backtracking and going over this over and over and over again. We're trying to pinpoint where people get confused.
That's
and
right.
Talk people out of their own confusion. But this promise, the promise came from John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3. Jesus then promised his apostles in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, and we talked about that. He told them, go into Jerusalem, and there you're going to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Wait for the promise of the Father, of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And so all of these are reflect to the idea that Jesus Christ said it was a promise. John the Baptist, through inspiration, said it was a promise. And the apostles knew it was a promise. This was not something that they could obey. They just went there to receive it.
That's right.
And they were there to receive this. Now, one of the great problems in religion is that these denominational preachers of the word cannot distinguish between a promise and a command.
That's right.
And when we can get that down pat in our mind, what is the difference between a promise and a command, then we will not have any problem with this Holy Spirit baptism.
That's right. Well, and as we were coming over and preparing for the radio program, we were talking about this. And friends, those who believe that this Holy Spirit baptism is a command, they will tell people that you have to prayerfully petition God in order to receive this Holy Spirit baptism. Now, Chris, you had a good point about that. And why don't you just share with our listeners what you talked about having to ask for that?
Well, I mean, would you just sit there and think about it for something? If you have to sit there and pray for something, if you have to pray to God to let this thing happen in your life, how is that a command?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jesus said it in the gospel accounts there at the, before his transfiguration, the end of the gospel accounts, you know, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I mean, there's a command to follow. This is something that you can reason about. You know, Jesus said it. I'm going to do it. No questions asked. And you can go right over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, be one of those people there that were present at Pentecost and hear Peter in no uncertain terms say, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You can understand that. There was no sit there and pray to God that you should do this when Peter in very clear language said to do it.
Yeah.
When you're having to ask God for something that wasn't meant for every single person, they missed the point on Holy Spirit baptism. If it was a promise, it will come. And I think what happens here, guys, is a lot of times, you know, people, I really believe that there are some sincere people out in the world that think that they can't be the authentic New Testament church they read about in the Bible if they don't have, if they don't have this Holy Spirit baptism, if they're not able to speak in tongues. I've known some people in my lifetime who were very distraught because they haven't been able to speak in tongues,
yeah.
and their preachers who were advocating that Holy Spirit baptism was still in essence in effect, that God had not set it aside, or that He was still using this in some way. They were sitting there looking and expecting to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and be able to speak these tongues. And lest we forget, the Bible still says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 29 and 30, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? Now, these are rhetorical questions. The answer is no, not everybody does those things. let me just say this, and the point I'm trying to make about this is if Paul is saying that not everybody is able to speak with tongues in the first century church when these miracles were prevalent, how is it that we have modern day preachers who advocate Holy Spirit baptism that say you are not saved until you have evidenced in your life that you can speak with tongues, when in the first century church not everybody spoke with tongues?
Well, that's exactly right.
Good point.
And you know, Chris, I was thinking about that when you were talking about that they're praying to ask for this Holy Spirit baptism, and we were saying, well, if you have to pray for it, it's not a command, you know. And I remember that when Saul was converted in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, he was praying. And he had been praying for 3 days and three nights.
Mm-hmm,
and when Ananias got there, he said, Paul, what are you waiting on? Get up and be baptized. He didn't say, keep praying for salvation and you'll get it. He said, you need to get up and get baptized and then you can have it. Now, friends, if you want to join us in this discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Friends, I hate to say this, but it's time for us to take a break. And so give us a call as soon as the break is over. We would love to hear from you, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friend, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is CO Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris. I'm here with Kerry Clark tonight and also a special guest from Mount Pleasant, Texas, formerly from De Leon, America, Chris Groda. He's here with us tonight as a special guest host. We are all working the camp, the youth camp at Cisco this week, and I believe we have 124 campers there.
Yeah.
It's a senior camp, freshmen through seniors in high school, 124 young men and young women there, and they're having a lot of fun. We're learning a lot of Bible, and we're blessed to be there. We had to take a little time out to come up here and do a radio program because we do this every Monday. And if you want to participate in this program, the number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. And if I'm not mistaken, we have a caller on the line right now. If you would, give us your first name and your comment or your question, please.
Yes, this is Frank Thompson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the Apostle Peter spoke in chapter 10, verse 44, that when the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and they began to speak in tongues. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says tongues are for a sign. That means something that is going to happen. I have been preaching this gospel for 50 years. I have seen literally thousands receive the Holy Ghost. In every occasion, they spoke with tongues. I have spoken tongues time and time again. I realize today they're trying to take this out of the Word of God in order that they may find a new way. But the Apostle Paul went on to say in the latter part of that chapter, I speak in tongues more than you all. So the Apostle Paul said, Chapter 19 of the book of Acts, that it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples, said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said unto him, We have not so much as heard if there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? They said unto John's baptism. He said, John verily baptized you with repentance, saying you should believe on him. That is Christ Jesus. Paul laid his hands upon them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, and the number was about 12 men. Everywhere in the book of Acts, they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, I'd like to address every one of those points, if you would. First of all, the account that we have in Acts chapter 10 is the acceptance of the Gentiles, as Joel spoke in the prophecy that was made.
That's right.
He said that they would come into the fold, and here are the Gentiles. And if a person were to read in Acts chapter 11, he would find out the rehearsal of the entire event by Peter, and he says, this is that Joel spoke about.
That's right.
And that was a one-time deal for the Gentiles to show the rest of the Jews that the Gentiles were... Well, okay, now I'll let you talk. Now you can let me talk.
Okay.
I'll let you go through Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 was no part of the Holy Spirit baptism. The apostles laid their hands on them just as they did in Acts chapter 6, just as they did in Acts chapter 8. That was not Holy Spirit baptism. But what I would like to point you to would be 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, known as the chapter of love, what we have here is a rehearsal of Paul the Apostle talking to all of those Corinthians who have been abusing these miraculous gifts that they had been given. And after he tells us everything that there is to know about love, and I'll begin there in verse number 4, he says, love suffers long. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Speaks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But now notice this, Mr. Thompson. He says, but whether there be prophecies... That is a spiritual gift that he talks about over here in Acts or 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And here is why. He says, for we know in part. We have knowledge in part. We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. James chapter 1 and verse number 25 tells us that this is the perfect law of liberty. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17 tells us that a man is perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works when he has this word of God. And so these miraculous gifts have passed on, and this Holy Spirit baptism was only recorded for us to the apostles and to Cornelius.
And the apostle Peter's, or the apostle Paul.
Yes, the apostle Paul was also included
in chapter 14.
Yes,
it says, wherefore, brethren, covet prophesying, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done in decency and in order. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, not Godhead. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and received up into glory, as you was quoting there. But throughout the book of Acts and into the 1 Corinthians, tongues are for a sign.
A sign for what?
It's a sign you receive the Holy Ghost.
Where do you find that?
Down the street.
Where do you find that?
And I see a sign that says stop.
Where do you find it's a sign that you receive the Holy Spirit?
To tell me that I am about to run a stop sign. And
where is it said that it is a sign that we've received the Holy Spirit?
He said it's for a sign.
For what?
Well, hey, man, you got to use your head. You
That's
don't
right.
Have
Listen to what it
carry
says.
It, you know, around to look at.
Listen what it says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe.
That's right.
But to them that believe not. It doesn't say it's a sign for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
It
doesn't say that. Where
certainly
does it say it?
Is.
Where does it say it?
You know, all we're talking about is what the Bible has to say, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, okay, where does it say
place
it?
They received the Holy Ghost, they spoke with tongues. And the Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 2 And the promise is unto you and to your children and they that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, I've been preaching this for 55 years, sir, and I've seen literally thousands receive it and speak in tongues.
Okay, how
and
do
I've
you receive this?
I've seen many that come up there, like you say, that just come up and pray and go away and say they've accepted the Lord.
How do we
but
get
listen,
the Holy
God's
Spirit?
God's got to accept you.
How do these people that you're talking about, how did they get the Holy Spirit?
Huh?
How did they get the Holy Spirit?
Acts chapter 2, verse 38, they repented of their sins.
So everybody
in Jesus' name and were filled with the Holy Ghost.
Okay, listen to Acts chapter 8.
Okay.
You know where we're going.
Oh, yeah.
Simon,
I know where
you're okay.
Going.
And listen to what it says in verse number 15. When they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16 says, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. They didn't get it, Mr. Thompson.
Only them that was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they laid their hands upon them,
okay,
and
so
they received the Holy Ghost.
Okay,
now,
my point is, I lay
my hands on them all the time. And
but
they
you
still
said
get
they
the
got
Ghost.
It when they were baptized. These people didn't get it when they were baptized.
Well,
they only got it after the apostles laid their hands on them.
That's right.
So you're falling down because you said
no,
in Acts so 2,
I'm not either.
When you said
my
in Acts
friend,
2 that they
you,
received it.
The day will come when you'll sincerely wish you did.
Where is that?
Well, sir, you're laying hands on people today.
Yes, sir.
And they're
getting the Holy Ghost.
Ain't that
amazing?
But
well,
you
it,
said
it
they got it when they were baptized.
The Bible doesn't teach that.
Well, I most certainly does. My Bible does. Maybe yours does.
No, my Bible is the King James Version. I beg to differ with you. The only people that could pass this miraculous gift on were the apostles, and I beg to differ with you being an apostle today.
Well, I'm a God-called preacher, been ordained for 50 years.
Ordained by who?
Getting the Holy Ghost just like... And, you know, they said there in the Bible, save yourself from this untoward generation.
Listen to what it says. It says the apostles laid their hands on them. This is Acts 8 and verse 17. Then they received the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Verse 18 says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Sir, the only way you can have these miraculous gifts was through the laying on of apostles' hands. The apostles are dead.
Hey, the brethren today are still doing it, friend. You came possibly several hundred years too late to tell me that.
Well, yeah, I would. I think it's about
2,000
years too late.
Chapter 2 says, and there suddenly came a sound from heaven as if a rushing mighty wind.
Right.
And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. There
who
appeared
sitting?
Unto them cloven tongues, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost
who?
And began to speak with other tongues
who?
As the Spirit gave utterance or speech, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews.
Who received the Holy Spirit
nation.
There?
Now, when this was noised abroad,
sir, we know what the passage says. Would you answer the question,
they all
please?
Spoke with tongues on
who?
The day of Pentecost.
Who?
The Jews.
No. In Acts chapter 2,
yes,
he's
Jews.
Talking
and
about
the
apostles.
In Acts chapter 10.
In Acts chapter 2, he's talking about the apostles being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the promise that Jesus made to the apostles.
Well,
that they would be filled.
There were 120 there that received it.
No, sir, that's not what the Bible says.
Well, mine
listen,
does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
listen
it
what
does.
It says. Acts 1 and verse 26 says, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 12 apostles. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who is the they? The 12 apostles, not the 120.
The 120.
No, sir.
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
Look at the English language. It says he was numbered with the 11 apostles, they, the antecedent, for
they,
the they is the 12 apostles.
My Bible
no, sir.
Says.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Then read it for us.
Well, it's there.
No, read it for us.
Okay.
I just read what it said in verse 26. They were numbered with the 11 apostles.
The multitude came together and confounded, because every man heard them speak in their own language. They were amazed, marveled, and said one to another,
"That doesn't say anything about the 120.
All of these which speak are Galileans."
Doesn't say one thing about the 120.
Now listen, what God was doing, letting each one of them hear, he was intending to have revivals in that country. Now, when Peter lifted up his voice with 11,
it doesn't say anything about the 120.
"Dwell in Jerusalem, know unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken." Well, why would you think they were drunken if they were not speaking in tongues?
These, the 12 apostles were speaking in tongues. Nobody's arguing what you're setting up a straw man. We're not arguing that the apostles weren't speaking in tongues. We have never argued that they were not speaking in tongues. The 120 were not speaking in tongues because
they
had not been baptized by the Holy Spirit, because our Bibles, and so does yours, say so.
I don't know about Seiko, but I know what the Bible says.
Well, Frank, we do appreciate you calling in.
All right, thank you.
But as we said, thank you. Well, friends, we want to encourage everybody to call. That was a lively discussion. And Frank, we're not mad at you. We appreciate you calling in, but we want to make sure that we're saying what the Bible says. And in Acts 1 and verse 26, Matthias was numbered with the 11 apostles, and then they, the antecedent of the word they, is the 12 apostles. It's not the 120, and that's clear. And then Peter gets down to verse number 14. They had said they were drunken, and he stood up with the 11. So that's 12. It's not 120.
That's right. And by the way, Kerry, we're talking about the promise and the command. This was the exact promise that Jesus spoke about in Luke chapter 24, verses 49 and following, when he sent those apostles to Jerusalem.
Right.
Told you wait there until you receive the power from on high. You apostles wait there until you receive the power from on high. Friends, what we've got to do is take the word and not take it out of its context.
That's right.
When the word says miraculous things like this are going to cease in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, who in the world am I to say that God is wrong there?
Yeah. Well, it's not really going to cease. He said it was.
And guys, don't forget about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think we still need to drive this point home with it. You know, verse 29 and 30, the questions are still there. Are all apostles? We know the answer is no. Not all are apostles. Are all prophets? Absolutely not. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Obviously not. By the way, these gifts of healing, speaking in tongues, and the gift of interpretation, this was all empowered by the Holy Spirit, the miraculous gifts that came on by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Now, obviously, there's a record of speaking in tongues where the Holy Spirit descended on the house of Cornelius and on the apostles. But as it pertains to other people who would later receive the gifts of the Spirit, which is not Holy Spirit baptism, separate thing, these people did not all speak with tongues.
Verse number 30.
My question for the Oneness Pentecostals that are listening is if not everybody is speaking in tongues in the first century church, why are you making it a test of salvation as an evidence of salvation? In other words, you're saying that in order to show that you are saved, that you are, or in order to be saved, you've got to have Holy Spirit baptism. I got the idea that maybe Mr. Thompson was mixing the two baptisms together in one in Acts 2:38.
Yeah.
That may be where he's going with that, but I'm still asking the question: if people in the first century church there in Corinth had received New Testament baptism in Acts 2:38, and then had their hands laid upon them, as you were pointing out a moment ago, Kerry, not all of them spoke with tongues. My question is how can you be consistent with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30?
Can't. And again, it says, do all speak with tongues? And the obvious answer is no. Not even in the first century. They didn't all speak with tongues.
So it can't be a matter of fellowship or a matter of salvation.
That's right. Yeah. Well, friends, I hate to say it again, but we're up against another break, and we didn't get near as much covered as what we thought we would. But, Frank, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling, and everybody else. And the number to call is 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met to
Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-sized Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Parkheights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Well, friends, welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. We've had a lively discussion this evening, and we want you to participate in our discussion as well. And the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Friends, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we've already established beyond any shadow of a doubt that God made a promise to both Jews and Gentiles that He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. We see that happening, first of all, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured upon the 12 apostles, and as we've already established, not the 120, the 12 apostles. And then later on, as a fulfillment of that prophecy, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Gentiles in the household of Cornelius, and so the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh, both Jew and Gentile. And there's a lot of error that's taught about that, and if you listen to the program, you heard some a few moments ago from our listener who called in. And so we want to move on in our discussion, and we want to ask, who administered Holy Spirit baptism? Now, David, that's gonna come into play with what we're talking about.
Absolutely, but before we move into that, I would just like to bring up one thing here, and that is that, as we heard just a moment ago, many people assume that being filled with the Holy Spirit is the exact equivalent of being, of having the Holy Spirit baptism, and this is not true. And Luke chapter 1 and verse 15 is a perfect illustration of that not being true, because John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's
now, right. How in the world did he get that Holy Spirit baptism if he was still in the womb?
Well, and David, not only that, you think about it, what about these Old Testament prophets that wrote the entire Old Testament? They were filled, guided by the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no indication they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. That started when John made the prophecy, when Jesus talked to the apostles about it. And so that leads us really to who administered it.
Right, exactly. Who did administer this Holy Spirit baptism?
Well, friends, John the Baptist didn't, because he's the one that said that somebody that was coming would, Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. And not only that, friends, the 12 apostles and the apostle Paul, they didn't administer it.
Now,
they received it.
Okay, if the apostles couldn't administer it in the first century,
yep,
with all of the power that they were given by
That's
God
right.
himself and the Holy Spirit,
That's right.
if they couldn't administer it, the apostles themselves, the hand-chosen apostle of Jesus Christ, could
That's
not
right.
administer the Holy Spirit baptism, how in the world can people claim that they do it today?
That's exactly right.
And go ahead, well, Peter. I was just going to say, you know, the scripture text said just a moment ago that the speaking in tongues that accompanied the gifts of the Spirit was not for the person who was already a believer, but for a non-believer.
Right. That's right.
And so I think about people who were living back then. If you were going to have John or one of the apostles be able to administer that baptism, you would want to administer that baptism to every person you came in contact
That's
with
right.
on the street to show them that this is the truth. But that didn't come to everybody. It only came to as far as gifts of the Spirit were concerned, that only came to those who obeyed the gospel of Christ. As far as Holy Spirit baptism was concerned, it only happened with the apostles and then the house of Cornelius as an evidence that the gospel was for the Gentiles also. What's my point in all this? Non-believers the apostles weren't laying their hands upon non-believers. If you think about it, if they had that power to give them the gift of speaking in tongues, or speaking in intelligible languages they've never studied before, why wouldn't you do that as an evidence, as a testimony that what you're doing is true?
To
show them. You know, and they didn't ever do that.
Well, it's because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and
That's
these
right.
miracles
mm-hmm.
were to advance the word.
To confirm
the word.
That's right. That's what
it wasn't to show people that you had power, but
That's
to
right.
confirm the word that Jesus had. Now, I'm sorry we interrupted you.
No,
continue
that's great.
On.
And you know, one of the things in the discussion, and the reason I kept asking the caller a moment ago about what is this sign, because he mentioned the sign of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 22. The reason I kept stressing that is because years ago, and I hate to say this, David, but it's been about 25 years ago now. I didn't realize I was that old.
You are.
But as I look, yeah, thank you. As I look back about 25 years ago, I had a study with a Pentecostal preacher, and this man kept saying that signs, and now I was a new Christian at the time. He kept saying that signs were for believers. And I knew that didn't sound right, but I was young and I got to studying, and I read, as Chris alluded to just a moment ago, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 22 that it is a sign not to them that believe, but for those who do not believe. And so this man was saying it was exactly opposite of what the Bible said. And friends, that's what you see when somebody starts getting involved in error. They start saying things that are flat contradictory to the Bible.
You know, Kerry, all we've ever wanted to do is just get out there what the Bible has to say. Not what men have to say, but what the Bible has to say. Mm-hmm. And that's all we want to do here. That's what we're involved in here at the Harrison Clark Expedition through the Bible.
That's
we
right.
just want to put the word out there. That's all. Not your opinion, not my opinion. If it doesn't say it, it can't be.
And we were asking the question, David and Chris, who administered it? And we pointed out that the apostles didn't administer it. We pointed out that John the Baptist didn't administer it, and we didn't point out, but it is absolutely true, Cornelius and his family, they didn't administer it. So, Chris, who is the one that the Bible says administers Holy Spirit baptism?
Well, John promised that Jesus would
Jesus,
be the one.
That's it.
That's it. That's the only one that's in the Bible that would administer it. If you want a verse of Scripture, this is really the only one that counts. There's none other Scripture that says anybody else will administer it.
Matthew 3:11. Jesus would be the one who would administer Holy Spirit baptism.
And also on the day of Pentecost,
that's
Peter,
right.
Peter affirmed this when he
yes.
told those Jews who were accusing them of being drunken because they now had this power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said in verse number 33, it is Jesus that has shed forth this which you now see and hear. And so we see Jesus making the promise. The promise was made by John the Baptist, and then Peter on the day of Pentecost said, this what you see here is that which was promised.
Well, and so we've established, guys, that Jesus administered it, and we've already talked about this in our discussion with Frank a few moments ago. But now we want to just go again and see who received it. We want to see who received this Holy Spirit baptism. I believe that we do have another caller on the line. Caller, if you would, just give us your first name and then your question or your comment.
I don't want you to have my first name. I'm still using it, and you've already got one. Hey, okay. This is Curtis.
Okay, Curtis.
Got a question for you. How do you get salvation?
How do you get salvation?
How do you get salvation?
Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Does that take I don't have to believe in Jesus. Done nothing.
Oh, you certainly have to believe.
It's implied.
I gotta have faith.
Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved."
Wow. Did you notice not anybody can figure out who gives the Holy Spirit, but God shows us in His Word that you can receive it.
Well, now Jesus is the one who administered it. Sir?
I look to God to receive what I'm going to receive.
But Jesus is the one who administered.
Jesus
That's what John said.
Absolutely. But Jesus is the sacrifice. Don't miss the God that He came for us to have a relationship with.
Well, we're not missing the Father.
And the Pharisees were so sure they knew Scripture, they
uh-huh.
crucified Jesus Christ. Be sure you got it right. That's all I got to
well,
say.
We're talking.
I'm responsible for me. The Word says, work out your own salvation.
Yes, sir.
That's what I have to do.
Right.
You can't tell me how to work it out. If it's scriptural, and if you don't have a relationship with God, if God don't talk to you, if you don't have a...
How does God talk to you?
With that inner peace.
No, where does the Bible say that?
Oh, it doesn't, brother. I believe it.
So you believe what the Bible doesn't say?
Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He shall direct thy path.
But you just said you don't believe what the Bible, or you believe what the Bible doesn't say.
No, the Bible says it all throughout it. God tells us who He is and what He expects of us, and we weren't even able to reach into the kingdom until Jesus Christ died on that cross, because me as a Gentile was not even allowed in that family.
Well,
but it takes faith.
There's no doubt. Faith comes
and
by hearing and hearing by the Word
the Holy
of God.
Spirit unless you get faith that you can receive it.
Where does it say that?
That it takes faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Y'all preach it every week.
Yes, and it's the Word. The Word that we're
receiving.
When
are the tongues going to be silent?
When are the tongues going to be silent?
You talk about the silent when the perfect one comes?
No, it doesn't say perfect one.
It doesn't say perfect one.
Okay,
it says when that which is perfect
when
is
that
coming.
Which
and
is
not,
perfect.
When, what not when he who is perfect, but when that which is perfect.
What is coming that is perfect?
The Word. The Bible's already come.
How about heaven? When heaven sets down here, then the tongues will cease and there will be no need for them again.
Heaven's not going to sit on this earth.
Okay. I thought you believed what the Word says.
I do believe what the Word says. If you will look at 1 Peter
7 to 3, the earth is going to pass away.
And rule and reign for 1,000 years.
No, the Bible says it is.
Well, there's another misunderstanding.
No,
that
ain't
in this
a mystery. Movie. Not if you've got a relationship with the God I've got a relationship
Listen,
with.
Jesus Christ is King of Kings right now. His kingdom already exists. Why would it come to the earth?
No,
Jesus
sir.
Said, my kingdom is not of this
he
world.
He is only the sacrifice right now to build that relationship.
So the kingdom is not here right now?
No, are you living in perfectness?
Listen to Colossians chapter 1.
No, I read the Bible. I don't read verses. Man put verses there. Read what the Spirit put in
the
verse.
Listen to what the Holy Spirit said
listen
then in this
part. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Oh, no. Wait, you can't say that.
Oh, I can't. I said what the Bible says.
Chapter 4 and verse 5.
That's the Old Testament, sir, if we're looking for justification.
Well,
I said, that says that I am delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
It said I'm delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You just said the kingdom wasn't here. Paul said it was.
He's not, but I'm still in his family.
The kingdom is not here?
In me. Jesus lives in me today. The Holy Spirit.
He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Yes, sir. My salvation happened now, not when I closed my eyes into the judgment. Jesus died for me now. I can be in his kingdom, and I don't have to wait anymore.
But you just said the kingdom wasn't here.
The kingdom that that's talking about is not.
It is here. Paul said we're translated into it.
Let me ask you a question, caller, and I'm just a guest, but I'd like to ask you just a question to kind of further that discussion.
Okay.
Jesus, you remember Jesus was always telling parables about, you know, trying to get people to think spiritually, and, you know, the Jews were always thinking physically. They wanted a physical kingdom, and
absolutely.
And here's one thing that Jesus said before Pilate. You know, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it was of this world, I'd have servants that were fight that I should not be delivered of the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from thence." You know, is a possibility there that we could start thinking of the kingdom in spiritual terms instead of, you know, physical?
It
know?
Is.
Well, and that's what we're talking about,
I
is that it exists spiritually.
In spiritual. My spirit now belongs to God because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. It's for the forgiveness of my sins.
Yeah. Acts chapter 2.
When I repent, I confess my sins, and I repent and I turn from them.
Are you baptized? Are you going to leave that one out?
No, sir. And you are to be baptized.
And that's for
and
the remission of sins.
You don't have to be baptized. Well, that's the first thing God says to do. If you ain't going to follow that direction, you ain't following God.
Well, talking about this kingdom here, not only does the Holy Spirit through Paul recognize that the kingdom is here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13 through 18, but also John, in the Revelation, in verse 9, he says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom." John was in the kingdom when he wrote this letter, this vision.
And Daniel 2 and verse number 44 said it would happen, the kingdom would come in the days of the Roman kings. Jesus was alive during the days of the Roman kings. And he said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, "I will build my church." And then he said to Peter that I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. They are one and the same thing.
Shall robbers and adulterers prosper?
I'm sorry, we missed.
I can make the word say, read what it is in context.
That's what we just did.
We're putting it into context for you, Curtis.
I don't need you to put it into context.
Well,
that's
you just
what
told us to.
Within me is for.
You just told us, quit taking it out of context, put it in context. We're putting it in context. You say, I don't want it in context.
Yeah, you say, does the Great Commission apply to me?
The Great Commission
applies only to the apostles.
No,
it applies to
you.
Everybody.
Okay.
Every Christian, that is.
It says, absolutely. It says, "Go ye therefore into the world."
Yeah.
"Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you."
Well, Curtis, we do appreciate you calling, and I hate to say this to you, but we're just about out of time.
I love listening to y'all guys.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you calling.
And it just makes the whole world think.
Well,
we need everybody to be talking about Jesus.
Thank you
so much.
Appreciate you so much.
It doesn't matter as long as he's the focus. Thank y'all, man.
You bet.
Thank you. Before we close, we do want to thank everybody for listening to our program this evening. Again, I'm Kerry Clark. David Harris is with me. We've got Chris Grota. We're all working a camp over at Cisco, and we are having a great time with all the young folks out there. And I just want to encourage everybody to keep studying the Word of God. And I do want to ask you, our son leaves tomorrow to go to Afghanistan, and we ask you, all of y'all, to remember him in your prayers. And David, I'm going to let you have a word, and then Chris can have a word, and we better wrap it up.
Okay, Chris, I'm going to let you have the first word, and I'll wrap it up.
Well, I appreciate that, David. Thank you for having us on the show, me on the show today. I've enjoyed talking about this really important discussion. You know, the Bible teaches us how to rightly divide the Word of God. We're supposed to handle aright the Word of God, and
Amen.
And I realize there's a lot of different views out there on a lot of things, especially on the Holy Spirit. But I think, you know, spending some time in it and, you know, really dissecting the issue is not a bad thing. We're not splitting hairs if we're looking at the Scriptures and really trying to ascertain what the Bible truth
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
This is not pharisaical to get down to the bottom of the matter. You know, obviously, we're looking for to be consistent with the Scriptures, and we don't want to take things out of context. Neither do we want to manufacture something that isn't real either.
Right. Well, Chris, we're thankful for you coming on the program with us tonight, and we want to let everybody know that one of the reasons that we're covering things like the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all of the aspects of the Holy Spirit is because most of the places that you probably worship, you're not going to be able to find what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. You might find out a lot of what men have to say, but we want the hearers and listeners to see what the Bible has to say about this. And we want to thank all of our callers. We want to thank all of our listeners. And I want to close by saying God bless America.